Good morning. It is Monday, February 2nd, 2026.
And just like that, we're into February. This year is moving.
It really is. And, you know, if you're anything like me, you're starting this week, you're looking at the headlines, the state of things, and it hasn't gotten any brighter out there. It's a dark world. But that's exactly why we're here. We need to anchor ourselves in something that doesn't shift with the news cycle.
We absolutely do. We need solid ground. And I think we really found some of that yesterday morning. We're reflecting on the message Brother Snove delivered.
Right, from yesterday, Sunday. It was titled, Christ and the Law.
And the text was from Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20.
Now, I have to be honest with you. When I first saw the title, Christ and the Law, my immediate reaction was probably similar to a lot of folks listening. I hear law, and I just think rules, restrictions, you know, a list of things I'm not supposed to do.
It feels heavy.
It does. And the modern instinct, even in the church, is to say, well, that's the Old Testament. That's outdated. We're under grace now, so we can kind of skim past that part.
That is the cultural drift we are swimming against. We want the relationship without the requirements. But Brother Steve, really, he really challenged that whole mindset.
He did.
He argued that the law isn't just relevant, it is preeminent. It's perfect. And the mission for our discussion today is to understand exactly how Christ fulfills the law.
Because if we get this wrong,
right,
if we think fulfilling it means destroying it, we miss the entire point of the gospel.
The whole thing.
So let's get right to the heart of it. Brother Steve started by establishing the authority of the law. Why does this ancient text still matter in 2026?
And he gave two main reasons. The first one is the answer we all know, but we cannot afford to forget it. It is authored by God.
And that really should end the debate right there.
You'd think so.
Yeah.
If the creator of the universe writes the standard, it is not up for a committee vote. It just stands.
But the second reason was the one that really made me sit up and, you know, take notes. He said the law is preeminent because it is affirmed by the prophets.
We need to clarify this because when most people hear the word prophet, they have a very specific and usually weird image in their heads.
Oh, yeah. They think of fortune tellers.
Right. Someone gazing into a crystal ball or predicting the stock market or, I don't know, a mystic living in a cave speaking in riddles.
Exactly. But Brother Steve took us back to the text to define what a prophet actually is. He went to Exodus chapter 4.
Verses 15 and 16. This is that conversation where God is speaking to Moses about his brother Aaron.
Right. Moses is complaining that he isn't a good speaker. He's trying to get out of the job.
He is. And God says, fine, Aaron will be your spokesman. But it's the specific wording God uses that's so important. He says, you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth.
And then he says, Aaron will be Moses' mouth.
That's the definition. A prophet is simply a mouth for God. I mean, what a humbling realization.
It really is.
It means a prophet isn't an inventor. They aren't philosophers coming up with new ideas or clever hot takes.
They aren't trying to go viral with a new theory.
Not at all. They are strictly a delivery mechanism. Brother Steve mentioned Jeremiah 1.7, where God tells Jeremiah, you go where I send you, and you speak what I command. It's all about obedience, not creativity.
So if the prophets were just God's mouthpiece, what were they saying? What was the message they were delivering for hundreds of years?
They were sounding the alarm. Their entire ministry was basically pointing back to the law and telling Israel, you're doing it wrong.
And it wasn't just about religious rituals, right? I think we often compartmentalize the law.
Yes. But Brother Streve reminded us it covers everything. The moral law, the judicial law, and the ceremonial law.
He mentioned unjust judges.
He did.
And that hits home, doesn't it? You see corruption in justice systems. You see the breakdown of marriage laws, issues with taxation.
It's all there. The prophets weren't just saying, you brought the wrong sacrifice. They were saying, you are destroying the fabric of the society God designed.
So what was the consequence?
Well, it was stark. It was binary. Brother Steve quoted from Isaiah chapter 1. And we all know verse 18. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow.
We love that verse. We put it on greeting cards. A beautiful promise.
It is. But we usually stop reading there. Brother Steve pushed us to read verses 19 and 20. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured.
Devoured. That is not a soft word.
It is reality. It is bless or curse.
Yeah.
Malachi had the same tone. The takeaway here is that God's standard is not flexible. Mm-hmm. The calendar changes. Culture shifts.
Oh, it certainly does.
What society thinks is acceptable changes every few years.
Yeah.
But the law is God's character written down. It cannot change because he does not change.
That sets the stakes for us. The law is perfect, it is authoritative, and frankly, we are usually on the wrong side of it. But then the message shifted gears, and this, for me, this was the most powerful part of the morning. We moved from the authority of the law to the fulfillment of the law in Christ.
The crimson thread.
Yes. Brother Stia addressed this idea that the Old Testament is incomplete. You know, people treat it like some dusty history book that's just waiting for the New Testament to come along and fix everything.
But he argued the opposite, that the Old Testament is wonderfully complete because it paints a perfect picture of the King who was coming.
And Jesus himself claimed this. That's what's so striking. The notes point out that five separate times in the New Testament, Jesus explicitly says, he is the theme of the Old Testament.
Think about Luke 24, on the road to Emmaus. He didn't just give the disciples a pep talk. He walked them through all the scriptures to show them that it was all about him.
I really want us to take some time here. Brother Steve went through what he called the He Is list.
Oh, this was incredible.
It is the typology of Christ in every single book of the Old Testament. I was writing as fast as I could, but I think we need to share this properly. It just changes how you read your Bible.
It really does. Let's just go through it.
Okay, starting at the very beginning, Genesis.
He is the seed of the woman. He is the Passover lamb.
Leviticus.
He is our high priest.
Numbers.
He is the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night.
Deuteronomy.
He is the prophet, like unto Moses.
And then we move into the history of the nation. Joshua.
He's the captain of our salvation.
Judges.
He is our judge and lawgiver.
Ruth. This one is one of my favorites.
The kinsman redeemer. Yes.
Yeah.
The one who buys back the family that has lost everything.
First and Second Samuel.
He's the trusted prophet.
And then Kings and Chronicles.
He is the reigning king.
Ezra.
He's the faithful scribe.
Nehemiah.
He's the builder of the broken wall.
Esther. And God's name isn't even mentioned in the text of Esther, but Brother Steve saw him there so clearly.
He's Mordecai, the advocate for his people.
Then the poetry books, Job.
He is the ever-living Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer lives. Just amazing.
Calzones.
He is the Lord our Shepherd.
Proverbs and Ecclesiastes.
He is true wisdom.
The Song of Solomon.
He is the Bridegroom.
Then the major prophets, Isaiah.
He is the Prince of Peace.
Jeremiah and Lamentations.
You weeping prophet.
Ezekiel.
He is the wonderful four-faced man.
Daniel.
He had the fourth man in the fiery furnace.
Hosea.
The faithful husband, forever married to the backslider.
And finally, Malachi.
He's the son of righteousness.
It is just, it's breathtaking when you see it laid out like that.
It gives you chills. It confirms that Jesus wasn't plan B, and that's the crucial insight we have to hold on to.
Right.
God didn't try the law, realize humans couldn't handle it, and then scrambled to send Jesus. No, he is the story. The entire Old Testament is a portrait of him.
So when Jesus stands up in Matthew 5 and says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill," he is speaking with the weight of that entire history behind him.
Precisely. But this leads us to the theological core of the sermon. What does he actually mean by fulfill? Because Brother Steve made a point to correct some common misconceptions here.
Right. He talked about the peaching view. This is the idea that the law was just a rough sketch and Jesus came to add to it.
A lot of people think that. They think he came to give a better moral lecture. But the word fulfill here doesn't mean to add to. It means to fill up, to complete something that is already there.
Then there is the obedience view. And I think this is where a lot of us land by default. We think he fulfilled the law just because he obeyed the rules perfectly. And I mean, he did, right? He was sinless. He kept the ceremonial law. He got baptized to fulfill all righteousness.
He certainly did. He was the perfect model of obedience. But Brother Steve pushed us to go deeper. If Jesus only came to obey the rules, he would just be a perfect man. But the fulfillment he speaks of, it's about identity.
Identity, that's the key word.
He fulfilled the law by being its fulfillment. Think about it this way. The law is like a shadow cast on the ground. It has a shape. It outlines holiness. But Jesus isn't just someone tracing the shadow.
He's the object.
He's the object that casts the shadow.
That is a really helpful image.
It wasn't just what he did. It was who he was. He is the Messiah, the law predicted. The law finds its ultimate meaning only in him.
That distinction being versus doing is so vital. It stops us from seeing Jesus as just a rule follower. He is the fulfillment itself.
And that brings us to the application. Because Brother Steve didn't leave this in the clouds, he pivoted at the end of the message to what this means for us.
Right.
In a dark world, mere knowledge of the law just isn't enough. It requires a response.
And the fourth thing it does is it humbles us. The law acts like a mirror. When we look at God's perfect standard, not just the actions, but the heart, we realize we cannot do it. We are broken.
That's the purpose of the law. It exposes sin. It shows us that we are utterly incapable of saving ourselves, and that should lead to a very specific response. Brother Steve laid it out clearly. Fear, repentance, and belief.
Fear is not something we like to talk about much these days.
No, it isn't, but it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of judgment, fear of hell. If the law is perfect and I am not, there is a penalty.
But that fear isn't the final destination.
No, it drives us to repentance, to turning away from that sin, and finally, to believing the gospel. Accepting that while we cannot keep the law, we serve the one who is the law's perfection.
He brings everlasting righteousness. Yep. I love that phrase. It's not a temporary fix.
It is everlasting. That is the hope we have. We don't rely on our own ability to follow rules. We rely on his finished work.
As we wrap up this reflection on Brother Steve's message, there was one phrase from the notes that I just want to leave with you. It was what he was as much as what he did.
That is a profound thought to carry into the week.
So here is our challenge to you. This week, when you open your Bible, and I hope you are in the Word every day, don't just read the Old Testament as history. Don't read it as a list of rules you are failing at. Read it as a treasure hunt. Look for the face of Jesus in every chapter. Whether you are reading about the sacrifices in Leviticus or the battles in Joshua, just ask yourself, how does this point to him?
That changes everything. It turns duty into discovery.
It sure does. Thank you for joining us for this reflection. We are praying that you stand firm in the faith this week, no matter what the world throws at you.
Amen. Stay grounded.
We will see you next time.